Hello, everyone, and welcome to Teach Me Teacher, a podcast for educators, where we, the teachers, become students ourselves. I'm your host, Jacob Chastain, and today I am going to show you two things. I'm going to show you a great thing that you can do at your school to inspire readers everywhere of all ages, and I'm also going to show you a way to get involved in something extremely fantastic. All right, everyone, I'm sitting here with first return guest, Keisha Dennis. How are you doing, Keisha?
I'm wonderful, Jacob. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Sitting here on a Sunday. You just got back from a retreat.
Yes, I did. Staff retreat. We had a great time. Come back with a few bruises, but that makes it fun.
Bruises?
Yeah.
It's the kayaking.
It's the...
Did you kayak?
It's the archery. No, I didn't kayak.
I've never kayaked, but I feel like I would tip over.
Yeah, I feel like I know I would tip over.
It would just...
Before I even left the dock.
Or I would get so far out and I wouldn't be able to
come and drop the oar and it just float away.
Yes. Or, you know, it's like when you... Have you ever been in a lake and you just... Like, you're swimming and you swim real far out or the ocean or whatever.
And you turn around and you didn't know it.
Yeah. Mm. And you're just... Oh, man. I've had moments in the lake where I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to float here. I mean, two things could possibly happen.
I'll float back or float away, one or the other.
It'll be all good.
There you go.
But that's good. Yeah, I didn't get to go to the retreat.
Because you're lame.
Well, I got to, you know, family situations abound. Yes. Life. I can't just abandon the wife.
I know. I understand. But, I don't have that problem anymore.
But yeah, I saw the Facebook pictures and whatnot. Yes. So, anyone, I got administrators that listen to this. You guys, apparently retreats are a great thing to do for your teachers. They just took everyone out. Maybe I'll get Whitfield back on the podcast so we can...
We did nothing school-wise. We got to know each other better. We got to trust each other better and had fun.
Sounds exuberant.
Yes.
I guess is the word. Anyway, so you dropped a bomb on us in our PLC last week. Just out of nowhere. At least from my perspective. I didn't know what was going on. But basically... Well, I'm going to let you explain it, but you've kind of come up with an idea to, one of the reasons I like it is because you're not only trying to inspire kids to read a little bit more, but you're also celebrating the fact that they are doing the reading. Because we don't have a lot of that, one at our school, but I don't see it a lot of places. Like, you know, it's rare where people are like, yeah, you read a lot of books, you know? Like,
absolutely.
So I just want you to walk us through kind of what you're doing, because I don't want to steal anything by explaining it badly. So start us off and then we'll go from there.
Well, I decided this year that I was just going to be absolutely insane in some of my classes to just see what I could get. My classroom runs on a commitment to building relationships and accountability and constant growth. So I challenged my kiddos to read at least half, so 12 out of the 25, so about half of the Lone Star Reading Challenge books, which is 25 books. 20 of them are chosen and are solidified as that's what everybody gets, but then there are 5 librarian picks. Now, you have to consider that there are also sequels to some of these books, so it's actually more than 25 because some of the books have a second or a third book for them. So I challenged my kids to read 12 of those. Now, if they read these 12, they get to go to a reception in May where there are authors and giveaways and they get all these books. And the most that any school has ever taken to this reception is 31 kids. So I thought, well, we can definitely beat that. That's not an issue. So this kind of started with my competitive nature because I wanted to beat the 31 number. After that, I came up with a project for the kids to do that is, again, insane. But they have bought into it and they have to do several different things. They have to cast each book. They have to do a theme project. They have to do some connections projects. They have to do summaries. They have to do some resolution, altering some different things to these novels. And I gave that assignment to them. Of course, they were overwhelmed, but I gave it to them 4.5 months early, so they knew that it was coming. Then I decided that there was no way I could have them do all of this work and I be the only one that sees it. So I've been working the last month or so trying to figure out how I was going to showcase their work. And driving back from the North Texas Teen Book Festival, it just hit me that I needed to make sure that everyone that I could possibly find saw this work. So we are going to have a Literacy Appreciation Day. It's called Let's Get Lit, Literacy Appreciation. And the main focus is going to be their projects. Now, these projects will be some of them on trifold, some of them electronic. There is actually a digital scavenger hunt that is being made for where we can have even 5 or 6 people on laptops doing this digital scavenger hunt at one time. And we're trying to figure out how she can have it where the scavenger hunt is happening simultaneously. So if someone gets to something before you, you have to do something else instead of just get that reward and go to the next step. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of things that are going on the kids are thinking about, but instead of just having their projects shown, I thought, let's cover everything literacy. Let's cover storytelling, illustration, writing, reading, just, you know, for pleasure. And I've come up with this idea to make it a whole day where everything literacy will be covered, and it's a celebration of books. We're going to have fun. We're going to give away books. We're going to read books. We're going to tell about books. We're going to have a DJ. It's going to be all kind of craziness.
And what I love the most about it is that you are taking you're celebrating every aspect of storytelling in literature, which a lot of people, you know, they just assume that reading is like this static thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we start talking about books and it's like, oh, you're just sitting in the room reading. You know, how do you celebrate that?
Absolutely.
But you're bringing it out and you've literally thought of like centers, I guess.
Yes.
At this event.
Yes.
But before we get to that, because I want to start at like stage one before we start looking at what the end result is.
Okay.
So stage one is the idea of these Lone Star Honors books, pretty much.
Yes.
For people who don't know, who are in another state, or my Aussies, who are our second biggest audience, what when we're talking about Lone Star List, what type of books are we talking about are on this list?
We're talking about popular novels, some of them not popular yet, that cover a wide range of topics. We have sci-fi thrillers as much as you can for teen books. Mm-hmm. We have the Miss Peregrine series that has already been made into a movie that kids have loved. And all three of those books are encompassed because the first one is. So the sequels automatically make the list. Ink and Bone, which has a couple of other additions to it. When all kinds of books that will touch every student's interest. But they also pique the interest of that same student that likes to read the same type of book to try to read something else. Because the kids, they don't have to read a certain book at a certain time. So they're all reading different books. And then they start talking about them because we have some book chatter, is what we call it in class, where they get to talk about their book. One week we had them write on a post-it, the most exciting part of my book was, and they just write it. And so then they can recommend what to read to each other for the next time when they finish the book that they're working on now.
You know, I really love the idea of, well, so at our school, you know, we really were forcing this, letting kids choose their books, letting them read and stuff like that. But when you get to the higher level readers, which is what you're working with
absolutely.
This project, it falls to us to force them out of their comfort zone, because most of them already read.
Yes.
You know, they're reading to an extent.
Yes.
And when you put it's a restraint, I guess, but, you know, a border, say, hey, you can read any of these books, but they're not all going to be fantasy, or they're not all going to be romance, or blah, 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 blah. You're forcing those kids to grow, but you're still giving them choice.
Absolutely. And they like it because I have given them this parameter, but I am not necessarily telling them which book to read. Mm-hmm. Their peers are. They're the person that they trust across the room that they hang out with every day is saying, hey, this is a great book. You got to read this one after you read that one. Can I borrow yours when you're done with it? Have you seen this one? Look at this. Look what I found online about this. And so they are pushing each other to do this, and they have taken on this little competitive nature to see who can read more than 12, who can read the 12 first, who can write the most summaries before a certain date. And they are have taken this and run with it on their own.
So 12 books. What was the time frame you gave them to read them?
Well, they heard about this at the beginning of the year in September. So they had to have them done by April originally. They got their rubric for their project in November. So they had roughly 5 months to do the project. I have extended the date for the project. So they've had basically all year to read the books. 12 novels is a lot for some of these students.
Mm-hmm.
One novel is a lot for some of these students. Even though they are advanced level students, many of them have been honest. We're actually making some video diaries right now. And many of them have been very honest that they haven't actually read complete novels before. They have started novels. They have spark noted novels. They have not finished actual novels. And they're finishing number 7, number 8, number 10 right now, and they're actually reading them because I'm asking for so much from them to show me that they've read it, and they want to show off their work.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point, is because I think, you know, pre-AP has been on my mind a lot lately, where we assume just because they're good readers, or they can infer a lot from a text, or they can interact with the text and do something, or simply they can pass a test, right? We assume that they're doing the heavy work of finishing novels and whatnot, but a lot of them are, you know, in middle school level.
They're not. And that's one of the things that has been so eye-opening about this. These kids are being very brutally honest because we've bonded so much over these novels.
Mm-hmm.
They're telling me that, Ms. Dennis, I've never read a whole novel. Everyone thinks I'm reading all these books that I carry around. I read about half of it and then I just look the rest of it up. Or I watch something, a video on YouTube about it from somebody else who already read it. And they haven't been reading novels all this time. They've been acting like they read novels.
And it's important to finish books.
Absolutely.
Like, and, you know, this is the whole thing, like, teachers raging against only reading passages of stuff and not doing novel study. And,
absolutely.
You know, the push of getting novel study out is, it hurts because reading is, you know, finishing a novel, there's cognitive advantages to completing an entire work, to living in a world that an author created and whatnot.
And knowing that it's done and knowing that you close out that chapter per se, and knowing that you can go on to something else and then relate them to each other, even though they have nothing to do with each other when they were written, but they you can find something common in two novels. Yeah. And that's a good thing. That's a strength builder.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it empowers them as readers, too, because each one is like a tiny little trophy.
Absolutely.
Right? Even if they're e-books, right? If they don't have the physical book, they know that they finished something.
Absolutely.
If you just have a graveyard of half-finished books.
Absolutely. Like, and you never actually know what quite happens at the end of anything. You've just been told by someone else. And that's one of the things in my classroom that I have impressed upon my students. Don't live your life being told by someone else anything. Mm-hmm. Information, what happened in the book, what to believe, how to vote. Go out and do it yourself. And that's always more life-affirming and more character-building than letting someone else tell you what you actually think.
After they read, what do they do once they're finished with a book?
Well, when they finish with one book, the first step I have told them should be to write that summary. It's hard to finish a book in November and try to write a summary for it in March. That's a little difficult. So they should finish the book. They should write their summary right then. Some of the parts of their projects are pretty easy and they are having fun with because they have to cast the characters.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to choose two main characters from each book and use a celebrity or a family member or anybody. They can draw the character. It doesn't matter. It's however they create it. To cast that character as if they were casting them for a movie. So the kids have really been enjoying that, and they've been kind of arguing about who fits the character type better. And so that's one of the things that gets them out of this is just the book. So they get to have some fun with it and create something on their own.
I already, every time, you know, we talk about, you know, students finishing books, for teachers that don't have students reading a lot, mm-hmm. the question, you know, everyone always raises their hand, well, how do you know they're reading? right? So yes. How do you approach that?
We have book talks and the book chatter. It's the first thing. I have to read the books too.
Yeah.
So I have to talk to them about them. I have to check on what they are talking about with each other. They bring me summaries. They bring me little snippets. I will ask a question sometimes as a part of their bell ringer to start class. I will ask, you know, them to pick a quote from the book and see if they change gender roles, how would that quote be different and affect the characters differently. So if the main male character said it, what if it was the main female character that said it, how would it be different? What if that was said by the parent instead of the child? You know, little different things that they really have to think about, that if you're not reading that book, it's very difficult to actually change those people in the book to do things and have them think about these things that they have to tell me about. So there are little checkpoints that we go through, but the book talks are the biggest thing because it's easy to write down something that you copy from SparkNotes. It's hard to talk to someone else who's read the book about the book and still be able to hold your own.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the big thing when it comes to trying to figure out if your students actually read. Like, if you talk to them long enough, I mean, you know if they read it.
Absolutely.
Well, because they'll react a few ways. You know, usually it's, you know, for middle school kids, it's either extreme. So it's either they really hated it or they really liked it.
Yes, and they can tell you why.
Yeah.
If they can't tell you why, if their answer is, well, why didn't you like it? Well, I don't know. I just didn't.
Mm-hmm.
They probably didn't read the book. Middle school students know why they don't like everything.
Mm-hmm.
They do know. Yeah, they may not be able to tell you much about anything, but they can tell you why they don't like something.
Yeah. So when it comes to, like, because I just imagine, you know, starting this massive project and, like, okay, so for me as a just my personality, I hate dragging anything out for long periods of time.
Yes.
Like, that's what I've had to learn to do is, like, give my kids time to, like, do something for more than one day.
Yes.
So how are you managing them, but how are you also managing, like, what you're doing in the classroom with them? Like, your time when it comes to spacing out everything and knowing that this is going to literally take the year.
Well, one way that we did that was, of course, we have reading days. And I have encouraged them that they should be reading these novels. Now, because I am the insane teacher that I am, I have encouraged them to also have another novel that has nothing to do with our project that they should be reading.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a brain break. Take some time away from it. I have told them this should not be consuming your life every day. That's why you have so much time on it. So most of my students are reading at least two novels. One that has something to do with the project, one that doesn't. So that's one way that I have helped them get through this long amount of time. Several of them, of course, they aren't all like eating the books up. Some of them are like, I'm gonna get to that next week or whatever. And it's a constant reminder. I have to constantly remind them. The book talks help because we are never totally away from the project. The book chatter helps because they are constantly interacting with each other with the books. We think about different things like the movies that come out that have to do with one of the books, or if the author's going to be in town, or if there's, you know, YouTube is full of kids that love books that are making these iMovie trailers
mm-hmm.
because they have read these books and they love them. So if I find one on YouTube or if they find one, we'll show it as our bell ringer and say, what did they miss? What did they leave out? What did they, you know, and some kids in our class haven't read that particular book yet. So they are really intrigued by this new iMovie trailer. But the ones that have are saying, oh, they left out. And then they're like, oh, I can't say that because she hadn't read it. So there's a lot of anticipation around the fact that half of them have read Ink and Bone and the other half haven't. And they want to talk about it. And they're like, you need to hurry up and read it. So they are pushing each other. And the anticipation of completing the project is keeping them going, I think. But I think a very key part is that brain break, that we get totally away from the project and don't talk about it some weeks.
I think, you know, the idea of setting a massive goal for the end of the year or close to the end of the year, mm-hmm. That's a really interesting idea because it gives them a purpose for what they're doing.
Absolutely.
Because you have those moments, you know, where kids are like, you know, why am I doing this? blah, 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 blah. And you can give the stock teacher answer, but having this be like, well, we have a goal.
Yes.
Right? Like, I imagine that focuses a lot, especially, you know, GT kids who are constantly questioning whether you're good at what you're doing or not.
Absolutely. They have no problem saying, you're just up there talking.
Mm-hmm.
So they... And the fact that we have made this a goal, and now that we have this celebration to be an even bigger goal, to not just say, you have finished a project, and I put a grade on it, and they take it home, and it's done. They are working extremely hard. So I wanted other people to see that. I want the people in our community, in our district, and all over, as far as we can reach, to see that, because I did have a conversation with someone who does work in another school district, and he was complaining about how kids don't read, and there's nothing we can do to make them read, and they just want to sit around on their phones. Well, there's some truth to that. There is, for a lot of kids, but there are a lot of kids that are working really, really hard that deserve to not be lumped in with they're not doing anything. Mm. They are. We just have to look for it, and we just have to highlight it, and we just have to make those kids feel special and know that we're not going to spend all our time fussing at the kid who never brings his pencil and fussing at the kid who never does his homework and fussing about test remediation. We're going to take some time to stop and applaud you because you've done something that is hard. 12 novels in 8 months is difficult.
Yeah, ask, just,
that's a lot.
Just look at all of your adult friends. Go on your social media and ask them how many you completed a book recently.
Completed one book.
This year.
Yes, one book in the last 5 years for some people. Mm-hmm. And these kids have done it. And they are constantly doing it. And they deserve to not be pushed to the side anymore. Because that's what they feel like. Mm-hmm. They feel like I am working really hard and all my teachers are going to talk about is so-and-so over here didn't bring a pencil to class. That's not okay. That's where we're losing kids when we forget to pat them on the back and say, you have done a great job. When we forget to say, wow, look at what you did that no one else in the district did. When we forget to tell them, you are awesome. That's when we start losing kids. That's when kids start saying, well, I'm going to stop working so hard. Why should I? No one else. No, they don't care. Mm. No one else is working this hard. They're going to spend all their time talking to the kid that was tardy. So we're going to spend 15 minutes at the beginning of the class fussing at the 5 kids who were tardy instead of spend 15 minutes at the beginning of the class talking about a book that kids have read over the weekend and they are bursting out of their skin to tell you about it instead of letting them have the floor at the beginning of the classroom so they can talk about their book. You want to talk about who was tardy? That's backwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm just nodding my head the whole way because it's true. I mean, I think it's really true for the whole literature thing because, you know, we take the kids that read for granted. We take that kid that's walking down the hallway with a book in her hand for granted. It's like, oh, well, you know, she's always going to make an A.
Absolutely.
Or whatever. And that's, I mean, that sucks for them.
Yes.
Because they're doing something that is really rare, and it's this age, you know, statistically, where they stop liking reading, or they fall out of the habit of reading.
Yes.
And that's our fault.
Absolutely. Because we're taking too much time away from them being in the spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want to do. I want to take the spotlight and shine it brightly on kids who are doing something that is not usual. It's not usual in this day and time for kids to not only read 12 novels, but to read another novel along with it, and to read all the texts that I give them in class, and to ask questions, and to come into class begging to have discussions about something. Those kids deserve to be front and center, applauded by every single person on the planet.
So let's talk about how you are going to do that. So it initially started with, you know, you're going to do this and you're going to do this project or whatever. And now you're like, well, I want to highlight it even more.
Yes.
And you've got some crazy ideas floating around. So I'm I just want you to share, like, what? How are you putting the spotlight on these kids? How are you letting them show what they're doing?
We have decided that we are just going to annoy everybody that we can possibly think of, basically, to say, hey, look at me. I've told the kids, it's okay to say, look at me when you're doing something great. It's okay to call people's attention to you because they just may not know. Mm-hmm. So we have set out on a campaign to Twitter stalk a few people. Some of them, you know, your listeners may have heard of Barack and Michelle Obama, Zendaya, George and Laura Bush. We have a couple of authors, anyone that these kids can think of that they want to tell, hey, look at me. I am doing something that is amazingly awesome. We have decided that we're going to Twitter stalk them. We are asking for people to join us. We are asking for people to donate books. We are asking for people just to tweet about us so that people know this generation is not lost on literacy. They do not have their faces in their phones the whole time. Some kids are doing some great things. We are going to start a Snapchat campaign to build some streaks. We are making video diaries because some of the kids, this has been very different for them. They've come from a place where I told you before that they haven't finished a novel, and now they're finishing 7-8 novels. And it's done some things to their lives. It's done some things to them as people, to them as readers. Mm-hmm. And we want people to know. So we're going to start some video diaries that we're going to be posting online. And one of the kids said that they wanted to create a YouTube channel. And I want them to do whatever they can think of. We're writing letters. We're going to be calling congressmen. Anybody that will come out and help me applaud these students, I want them there. I want all the people that are important, that society says are important, every basketball player, every football player, every baseball player, every celebrity, every politician, every astronaut. We don't care. We want people that get applause all the time to come and applaud these students. And of course, the students think I'm crazy. Mm-hmm. They think this will never happen. Or, you know, they thought I was playing when I said this, but then I built a Twitter just for this. It's the whole reason that I built this Twitter. And the kids are like, are you seriously tweeting the president? And I'm like, yes. And I'm tweeting his social media guy. I want his money. So the kids have now said, well, can I tweet such and such? And I'm like, sure, why not? Let's tweet them right now. Let's find them. So they are behind it, and they are understanding that I think they are worthy of all the applause that we can find in this entire world for them.
So when you are reaching out to people, what are y'all saying? You just like, hey, we're reading books, or like, what's going
we,
down?
We are. That's exactly what we're doing. Great. Kids doing great things to change the world. Literacy matters. You know, we're finding some ways to play off words and to make people go, well, who is this that keeps tweeting me? And who is this that I keep seeing them on my timeline? And why is this kid sending me stuff? Eventually, somebody's going to go, let me take a closer look at this. Mm-hmm. So we're just inundating their timelines with stuff so that they know. But that's the thing. People don't know that things like this are happening. We have to tell people, so that's what we're doing.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, the biggest, like, back in the day, right, when you wanted to get known, you had to get to the right people within the system, and they had to promote you. Now, the battle is more of just, because the internet, anyone can find you, right? Absolutely. This is why we have internet sensations. This is why we have YouTube stars now that are their own version of celebrities. The hardest part is getting through the mass of Absolutely. Information. And so when you do, spread it out like you're trying to do, eventually, you know, the logic says, you know, you're going to catch someone that's can put eyes on you.
Absolutely. Somebody's going to eventually go, they are annoying the heck out of me. Let me look and see what this is all about.
Yeah.
And that's what we want. The kids have... Ellen, somebody should be calling us soon because they are just sending her so much stuff. But they realize that they're worth it. And that's what's most important to me. Even if, you know, we're tweeting celebrities and, you know, important people, my kids are the important people. And even if no one shows up, if no one sends us a book, if no one comes out, I am going to be there clapping and cheering louder than anyone could possibly do, because they deserve it. They're worth it. And I won't let another year go by where they aren't recognized, where they don't have the ability not only to show off the hard work that they're doing, but to share it. These kids want to tell people about what they're doing. They want to tell people that it's not weird to be the kid reading in the hall. They want people to know that this is still a thing. People read, and they deserve to have the platform to tell that.
Well, I think it's also important. I mean, it's an important lesson on a lot of fronts. Them reaching out to people is a good thing, because that's, I mean, a lot of these kids are in the creative generation. Like, you know, I'm sure you've heard, you know, when people talk about, well, you know, millennials or whatever, you know, this generation, they're just not going to hold jobs. They change jobs all the time. It's because what these kids are growing up learning, they're learning from entrepreneurs that are on the on YouTube and stuff. Absolutely. Like these people that have built empires with a camera in front of their faces. Absolutely. And just talking. So what they consider possible is not, you know, going to college, getting a salary job for the rest of their lives. That's absolutely, that's boredom to them.
Yes.
But teaching these early lessons that, okay, that's awesome. You want this goal. You want to be popular. You want to entertain people. Sweet. This is the hard work that you have to do it. Like, absolutely. They didn't, you know, iJustine and, you know, all those people didn't just pop up.
Absolutely.
It's hard work to do what
yes,
they do.
You don't just put a video up and then everybody knows about it.
Yeah. And that, and well, it, so it's a good lesson there, but it's also a good lesson to see, like, even like if this podcast doesn't reach anybody, right? If their tweets don't reach anybody, if this is just an echo chamber and we all end up just celebrating by ourselves.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's a good lesson to know, for them to experience, because not everyone looks at everything you do.
Absolutely, they don't.
So, you know, even like next year when you bring it up, or, you know, if you do it again, or if they go on to do something, they can go, well, this is a learning experience, because it's like, what did we do that didn't work? You know, what did we not reach with this? How do we change it?
How did we think too small?
Yeah.
Which is what I've told them. We need to stop thinking small.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, why would we tweet the former president? Why not?
Yeah.
That's why he has a Twitter. Why wouldn't we? You know, he's a person. He wants to give away books. He can give them to us. We'll take them. We'll give them out in our community. We'll help our own community, our own district, our own state become better readers. We'll increase the literacy right here and make our place where we have to live better. So why not? Why not ask him? What's the worst that could happen? He ignore us? So?
Yeah.
Somebody's going to see it somewhere.
Yeah, and some people are, you know, it's afraid to go big. You know
we're
what I mean?
Going big.
Yeah, and that, I mean, that's what I love about it, because, you know, the same, you know, in my classroom, I'm kind of doing the same on a small, way smaller scale, mm-hmm. but I'm celebrating a small group of kids who are sixth graders who are trying to read these honors books, and I mean, some of those are hard.
Absolutely.
Literature books, and they looked at me, and they're just like, what are we reading, you know? But we worked through it, and that's, that was just my initial goal, was to, like, get sixth graders ready for that higher level reading, that eventually when they get to you in eighth grade, that you're going to be like, hey, we're going to read yes. all of these books.
And I need that. I love that you're doing that with them, because in past years and in most years, it's me with these crazy ideas and the kids are deer in headlights yeah. going, what is wrong with you, lady? You are crazy. Why do you think that we can do this? And I have to spend a lot of time convincing them, which I don't mind. I will convince them every day. We're going to do it no matter what. But with you building that capacity, they've already had some crazy. So when they get to me, they're like, oh, okay, well, this is just an extension of the crazy. It's crazy on a grander scale. We'll take it.
Yeah.
And they're ready to go for it.
Well, I think that just speaks to our department, really, because we're all kind of we had a huge shift this year.
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, it's going to be a cyclical process. So by the time you get the kids that we're grooming through seventh grade and then up to you, you know, this will just be such an extreme.
It'll just be what we do.
Yeah. Stepping back,
okay.
Right? Your big event. So what's this event supposed to be? Because we, you know, you're talking a lot about getting all these people here. What are they coming to?
Let's Get Lit, Literacy Appreciation Day, is a celebration of all things literacy. There will be a pep rally of sorts with a DJ where we just are going to celebrate books. We are going to have a storytelling station where there are going to be people talking to small children telling stories. And I mean, like, actual storytelling, like not holding a book, telling stories, the way that literacy starts, conveying stories sure. to people. We're going to have an illustration station where people... Because after you hear a story, the next thing that children learn is how to read pictures. So why shouldn't we celebrate drawing your own picture book or your own board book? We're going to have that station. We'll have a station with a book panel with the students that have actually made these projects. They will have different times that they will go in and tell about the books that they have read. They're going to suggest books for people. They're going to... have a debate of sorts about some of the characters in the book just so that they can get that out and find, you know, time to have people be interested. We're going to have their projects, of course, on display. We want people to interact with them. We want people to see them. We want people to say, I want to read this book, because that's one of the things that people don't get enough of. There's not enough push sometimes to say, this book is really great. This is why. This is what you need to know. And so we're going to have a lot of that out there. We're going to have quiet reading rooms where on that day, people just want to come and just read. They can. We'll just have quiet space for them to read. One of my hopes is that we will read through one of the novels in the time that we are there. We will have a room where we are actually reading through one of the novels. We'll have different people come in, read a couple chapters, keep going, but reading through one of the novels. So somebody could come and sit and listen to the whole novel right there. Mm-hmm. Now, that's usually not done in very many places, but I think because we are celebrating all things literacy, I need that to be done. Now, with all of this, we're not just going to tell people about books. We're not just going to interact with books. We're not just going to draw things. One of my hopes is to get enough donations to give away books to every single person that is there. Not just children. Lots of times we give just children books. Well, children need to see their parents reading. So we need to give their parents books too. We need to give everyone community books. Everyone needs to leave with a book. We want to give away the next year's list. We want to give away a whole set of those books, all 25 of the books for next year, so the kids can start reading already all summer, all year long. They can already have those books, already be working on them. I have looked up the Tate Shaw's list, which is the high school list of books, and I've pulled those books, and hopefully we'll be able to purchase those books and give them away for the kids that are leaving me and going to high school. We're going to look up the pre-AP books for the reading list. Anything to get those things in their hands so that they can be prepared for next year.
One of the, what's interesting, I really love the idea of giving away all these books, because the single greatest thing you can do for literacy is putting books in
kids'
hands. And that's the struggle, and that's why librarians across the United States are kind of like having a heart attack right now, because their jobs are changing.
Yes.
Libraries are giving away to makerspaces, which are sweet, yes. And they're awesome.
Yes.
But that takes away from, you know, book areas, and we're getting less books and things like that. Now, a lot of schools are going digital, which is fine, but there is something to be said about that physical book in the space, and not some, you know, dreary book, but a book that speaks to them.
Yes.
In a lot of ways. And that, and in order to do that, it's impossible to be like, well, you know, these books are going to speak to these kids. You just have to have so many. That's impossible for them to not find one.
Absolutely. Right? And in a great, beautiful world, I would get enough donations where I'd have to say, wait, come back, take another one.
Yeah.
You know, I want to have that problem. I want to have the problem that there are so many books delivered to our school with my name on the box that I need to give away that I don't have a place to store them. I want to have to sit at school late into the night and separate all of these books, because so many books have been given to give away to our community. And it's important, you know, I wish I had this endless amount of funds, but we work at a Title I public school. We don't have this endless amount of funds to buy books just to give away to everybody. So I have to ask people to donate so that we can give away these books, so that we can change our community, so that we can bring awareness to literacy.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of, you know, we're just coming off the, you know, my Betsy DeVos 2-episode extravaganza, which has gotten so many people listening. The people that have listened to that, and, you know, towards the end of that podcast, you know, I asked, Kathy Edwards. I had to think of her name for a second. I asked her, what do we do, right? We have public school, we have private school, we have everyone debating, what's valid. Are public schools failing? Do public school teachers suck? All of these things. This is what people can do. They can take action in a community that doesn't have a lot of funds and help us do what we do, which is inspire kids, give them what they need, give them the tools to grow.
Absolutely.
And that's what you're doing, and what you're asking people to help you with is literally the change. Like, if someone's complaining, this is what they need to do.
Absolutely. Send me books.
That's what you need to do.
We have to, I think, as a society, but especially as teachers, it boils down to, we don't get paid enough. Great. We don't. We all know that. That's not something new. We don't have enough money to do the things in our classroom that we need to do. We don't have enough money sometimes to do things in our entire school that we need to do. That's how it is right now. So I will spend my own money in my classroom like most of my other colleagues do. I will make sure my students have the things that they need. I will improvise. I will beg. I will do whatever I need to do to make sure those students have what they need. But I will also ask people to extend of themselves so that we can actually impact the community. This is not just something that is going to stay at our school. This is open to absolutely everyone. We need to change our entire community. We need to change our entire district. We need to stop saying what we can't do and figure out how to do it. Instead of saying, well, my kids don't have books. They're not going to read. They're not going to do a big project. Figure out how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Find a way to convince them. Find a way to make them care enough. Find a way, whatever you're trying to do, and get out there and do it. Stop complaining about it and get out there and change it.
See, and that's the magic of the public school system. With schools that have an environment where teachers are allowed to push things like
mm-hmm.
we are.
Mm-hmm.
Whitfield, he gives us all the room in the world.
Go for it.
Yeah, whatever. that's really the pride and the trueness of what public school is. Public education is completely with, we have the problems, like you said, of not having enough funds. We don't get paid enough, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Whatever. We're in this because we want to do it. So the funny thing about this is if no one gives you money, right? If no one donates books, if no one cares about this, you're still going to do it.
Absolutely. We will talk about the books. We will just show pictures of the books. This is happening no matter what. It can be this wonderfully epic book palooza, Barnes & Noble truck pull up in front of the school, start throwing out books. We'll be over. You get a book, you get a book, you get a book. Or I can have 10 books that I buy with my own money and I can say, all right, I got 10 winners. Sorry, this is what I could do. This is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
These students have read these books. These students have worked hard. These students have done a project that is by all means crazier than crazy. They will get the recognition and applause that they deserve. We will encourage them to tell others about what they have done. We will encourage other students to be ready because this is what's coming. I'm not going to stop doing crazy things just because someone didn't send me books. It makes it a lot easier if someone sends me books and funds to buy books. And, if President Bush comes in and reads a book, yeah, it makes it easier. But if he doesn't, okay. If President Obama doesn't send me a box of books, okay. I'm still going to be there. I'm still going to be cheering louder than anyone else. I'm still going to be applauding them. I'm still probably going to end the day crying because I'm so proud of every single word that they read on every single page.
What do you need from people listening now? What is it that you, that we are coming to them to ask of them?
I need books. I need books donated to this project. I have a Donors Choose page set up on donorschoose.org, and it's called Let's Get Lit, Literacy Appreciation. There are several books on there that you can check out my whole list of what we want to buy. And that has a cap on it, of course, because it's Donors Choose, and But I need that list fulfilled, and we need that list fulfilled quickly, because the difference in this Donors Choose and most is that we are on a time crunch. May 13th is our day. We will be appreciating literacy with or without donations of books. We need businesses to rally around us to say, we care about your kids. Here, we want to buy 10 books for you. It's one thing to bring in used books and give them away to kids. That we'll take it. We will do it. But brand new books to a child who has never owned brand new books of their own can be a game changer, because it's theirs. It is something that they own. It's something that they have to defend and be proud of and look through and look to in a way that they have never had something. So I need books. Send us books. Please.
You know, on the note of the new books thing, it was hilarious because our district, for one, is buying us tons of books. They're absolutely just sitting in our workroom right now. But, you know, when we got our first order of books that our principal bought for us, and we all had all these new ones, and we filled up our carts and rolled them back. I just remember, like, every kid that walked in our room was obsessed with them. Kids that walked into my room that year saying, you know, they hate reading and all this stuff. It was because they were new, and absolutely, they were bright and colorful, and they weren't used, and, like, used to the point of falling apart, which is what a lot of our libraries
consist of. And they didn't have pictures drawn in them and words scrubbed out. And, you know, our district has done a wonderful job getting us some books for our classroom library. Mm-hmm. But those are for use right there. We can't give those to the kids. It is theirs in the classroom, but we have to get those back.
Yeah.
Being able to own something and take it home and write your name on the spine and it be yours gives the kid a sense of empowerment. Some of the kids have never had that empowerment. You know, I know there are some people that go, oh, every kid has books. There are some kids that do not have books at home in an abundance, or they have children's books, but not books that are age appropriate for middle school. Because a lot of people buy their small kids' books. They don't buy their middle schooler books anymore. And we want them all to walk out with books. I want them to at least have one. I would love to have so many books that I have to say, you have to take 4. That would be like the best day ever, that I have to tell every person that walks into our book giveaway and say, you have to take 4. I need you to take 4. And they get to walk out with 4 new books that they're going to care about and they're going to read and that they're going to share with someone else.
So if someone wanted to contact you either about your Donors Choose, or if they wanted to give you money in a different way, or they wanted to send you books in a different way, how do they contact you?
Well, I will be changing my website so that they can do that. Or they can tweet me at Real English Teacher on Twitter. They can find me on our school website, on my school page, so that they can get the address. It's Richland Middle School. They can get the address, send books, care of Keisha Dennis, and I will be opening each one of those boxes myself and cataloging those books and thanking them. This is not a venture that's going to be easy. This is not something that is going to be done in one day. I need help. It's the only way they can do it. My budget that I have been given from anyone outside of myself is 0. There is no money that I can have just to do this. So I have to depend on the world as my greater community to help me carry this out. And it's important, and we have to make sure that we are spreading literacy everywhere we go.
Yeah, and I, you know, obviously I believe in it, because as soon as you said, you told us last week, right?
Yes.
It's Sunday, so like 4 days later, you're on the podcast talking about
it. Absolutely.
So, you know, you have the backing of us. Hopefully, you know, this is the first time, you know, on Teach Me Teacher, I've ever brought anything to the audience and saying, hey guys, let's put money behind something.
Absolutely.
And if any teacher really cares about literacy, if any administrator, if anyone who's listening to the podcast really does care about pursuing literacy and giving kids something that they're, one, going to remember forever, but two, this is going to have a lasting effect on them.
Absolutely.
This is where you need to put your money, even if it's a little bit, right?
Every dollar, every penny, every anything that is sent to us is going for these kids for this day. Mm-hmm. There is no overhead. There is no nothing but books. We want books. We need books. Books is what we want.
Yeah, and you know what's funny, what's awesome about this is we don't benefit from this.
Absolutely
not.
And
I've said that on Teach Me Teacher 1,000 times. This is a podcast just for my love of education and wanting to talk to people. And this whole, all of this money, anyone that donates anything, this is literally going to books.
To books. To buy books, 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 books.
Yeah.
And maybe book gift cards, because we want them to choose their books sometime for themselves.
Sure.
But this is one of the things that I think is most important in our world. Because I hear people say things like, well, books are going to become extinct. No one reads books. No one. That's not true. And it does something different to your brain to hold an actual physical book in your hand, to turn pages. Ebooks are great. I am not saying that. I think ebooks are wonderful. They're great. You can carry 20 books in your pocket at one time. Mm-hmm. But there's also something to be said about sitting and reading a book, about sharing a book, about finishing a novel and passing it to someone else so they can experience the greatness that you just experienced.
So everyone listening, I need you to be inspired. And then I need you to go to Donors Choose, or go to, if you didn't write out any of the things she listed, I'm going to have them all listed on the Teach Me Teacher website.
Absolutely.
In the post for you, so you can find every possible thing to connect. We'll be tweeting out. I have an account that I use for Teach Me Teacher on Twitter. I don't use it that often, but I'll be tweeting out with you guys.
Absolutely.
It's part of the campaign.
Yes.
Getting everyone involved. But, you know, to everyone listening, I mean, this is your chance.
We will appreciate every single penny that is given, and we will acknowledge you, and we will send pictures and post pictures, and you will see the difference that it makes. These kids are awesome, and they are changing the game, and they are the only way that the world changes, because eventually we're not going to be here, but they'll still be around. Mm-hmm. And they'll remember that they have to work hard for something, and that people appreciate when they work hard for something.
Thank you, Keisha, for coming and sharing your idea with everyone. I think this is going to be, actually, I know this is going to be episode 2 of our How to Create True Readers series. Absolutely. But it's also, I got to go with the title. It has to be Let's Get Lit. It has to be the title.
Let's Get Lit.
So it's going down. Anyway, thank you for coming on. I do appreciate it. Teach Me Teacher audience, like I said 1,000 times already, this is your chance. Donate, do everything you can. If you need to contact Keisha Dennis about any questions, I'm sure she'd be happy to answer all questions.
Absolutely.
About what you have. For everyone else, go to teachmeteacherpodcast.com to get all of our other episodes. Hit up that Betsy DeVos episode. I know you're curious if you haven't heard it already. Like us on Facebook. Leave us a review on iTunes. Do whatever you do to support the show and everything we are. Until then, have a good one.